Maharaj Yudhisthira had noted many auspicious signs, omens that were occurring because of the departure of Lord Krishna from this world. And he pointed these out to Bhima, and as he was speaking with Bhima, Arjuna had come back from Dwarka, returned after 7 months of being with Krishna. And Arjuna looked so dejected, and Yudhisthira, of course, was surmising the worst, but he had questioned Arjuna and saved that last question, save that question about Krishna's remaining in this world to the very end. And he asked, are you feeling empty for all time because you might have lost your most intimate friend, Lord Krishna? Oh, my brother Arjuna, I can think of no other reason for your becoming so dejected. So now we'll hear Arjuna's reply. Suta Goswami said, Evam Krishna Saka Krishno Bratra Rajna Vakaupita Nana Sankash Padam Rupam Krishna Vishlesha Karshitaha. Arjuna, Suta Goswami said, Arjuna, the celebrated friend of Lord Krishna, was grief-stricken because of his strong feeling of separation from Krishna, over and above all Maharaj Yudhisthira's speculative inquiries. Prabhupada's very short purport. Being too much aggrieved, Arjuna practically became choked up. And this is the powerful warrior who had to kill thousands and thousands and thousands of people, millions. And yet, when thinking about Krishna in this circumstance, his voice choked up. And therefore it was not possible for him to reply properly to the various speculative inquiries of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Due to grief, Arjuna's mouth and lotus-like heart had dried up. Therefore his body lost all luster. Now, remembering the Supreme Lord, he could hardly utter a word in reply. With great difficulty, he checked the tears of grief that smeared his eyes. He was very distressed because Lord Krishna was out of his sight, and he increasingly felt affection for him. Remembering Lord Krishna and his well wishes, benefactions, intimate familial relations, and his chariot driving, Arjuna, overwhelmed and breathing very heavily, began to speak. Srila Sridhar Swami comments on text 3 and 4 as follows. Arjuna's eyes held tears, and those that had already fallen were wiped away by his palm. His voice was indistinct because his throat was choked. His voice was interrupted by tears and his sobbing. Arjuna said, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who treated me exactly as like an intimate friend, has left me alone. Thus, my astonishing power, which astonished even the demigods, is no longer with me. We'll read about a third of the way down in Prabhupada's purport. The power and energy which were bestowed upon Arjuna were required for fulfillment of the mission of the Lord. But when his mission was fulfilled, the emergency powers were withdrawn from Arjuna because the astounding powers of Arjuna, which were astonishing even for the denizens of heaven, were no longer required, and they were not meant for going back home, back to Godhead. If endowment of powers and withdrawal of powers by the Lord are possible even for a great devotee like Arjuna, or even the demigods in heaven, then what to speak of the ordinary living beings who are but figs compared to such great souls? The lesson is, therefore, that no one should be puffed up for his powers borrowed from the Lord. The sane man should rather feel obliged to the Lord for such benefactions, and must utilize such power for the service of the Lord. Such power can be withdrawn at any time by the Lord. So the best use of such power and opulence is to engage them in the service of the Lord. Just wanted to point out one sentence. The astounding powers of Arjuna, which were astonishing even to the denizens of heaven, were no longer required, and they were not meant for going back home, back to Godhead. What does that mean? Yes, the mission of the Lord had been executed. And Arjuna was part of that mission. And Krishna executed so much of his mission through Arjuna. So therefore, those powers were withdrawn. Continue. But how about that last part of the sentence was the part that really interested me. Yes. Yes. So there were two specific points made. One was that there are particular empowerments that Arjuna had, which had to do with his removing the burden of the earth. And he was, Krishna used him. Nimitta Bhava, what is the? Namitta Bhava, instrumental. I want you to be instrumental in my fight. And that was Arjuna. And therefore, his power, Krishna's power, came to Arjuna for being instrumental. But those type of powers were not required for Arjuna to go back to Godhead, which was Arjuna's next assignment. So Krishna withdrew them. And what is required, Prabhupada doesn't speak much about that in his purport, but we already know. Only bhakti. Bhaktyamam navidananti. Prabhupada's purport speaks of whatever other powers one has, they are gifts of the Lord, and we should only recognize them as such and never become proud. Whatever gifts, whether they are small or large, they are all gifts of Krishna, and he can take them away at any moment. So no one should become proud. Everyone should just use them pridelessly. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga. Because Krishna's, whatever we have, Krishna's gift to us, use them with detachment in Krishna's service and not become proud thinking kartaham. That I am the one doing this. Because as soon as we think of like this, finished. And Brahma feared this type of thinking. When he was about to create the world, and he asked Krishna in the second canto, chapter 9, he asked Krishna, how can I do this service without becoming proud, thinking that I am the doer? Krishna there thus instructs him in the Chatusloki Sloka Bhagavatam. So we'll continue with Arjuna's feeling of lamentations, saying that this power is no longer with me. I have lost him whose separation for a moment would render all the universes unfavorable and void. Like bodies without life. He is the soul of everything. He's the soul of all the universes. Therefore, he's called the super soul. Everything rests upon him. And now he has disappeared from this world. So Arjuna, now from text 7 to 19, he's going to remember how all the different things, well, not all of them, but different successes in his life. And he's going to ascribe them all. The cause of all the success is Krishna. This is the way a devotee thinks. So he's going to describe many different pastimes in these verses, 13 verses or so. Only by his merciful strength was I able to vanquish all the lusty princes assembled in the palace of King Draupada for the selection of the bridegroom. With my bow and arrow, I could pierce the fish target and thereby gain the hand of Draupadi. So how Krishna protected his devotee, how Krishna cared for the Pandavas, well, all his devotees, he even arranged, by Krishna's grace, to get a wife for them. And the story is quite famous. We'll read from the last part of the purport. When Arjuna, in the dress of a poor brahmana, pierced the difficult target, everyone was astonished, and all of them, especially Karna, offered a stiff fight to Arjuna. But as usual, by the grace of Lord Krishna, he was able to emerge very successful in the princely fight and thus gain the valuable hand of Krishna, or Draupadi. Arjuna was lamentingly remembering the incident in the absence of the Lord, by whose strength only he was so powerful. Text 8. Because he was near me, it was possible for me to conquer with great dexterity the powerful king of heaven Indradev, along with his demigod associates, and thus enable the fire god to devastate the Kandava forest. And only by his grace was the demon named Maya saved from the blazing Kandava forest, and thus we could build our assembly house of wonderful architectural workmanship, where all the princes assembled during the performance of Rajasuya Yajna and paid you tributes to Yudhisthira. So he, Arjuna, was able to conquer even the demigods by Krishna's grace. But again, all these powers had been withdrawn. So when he's remembering his powers and his success, he's remembering Krishna. We'll read from the last part of Prabhupada's purport. There was a fire. They wanted to offer... Who was ill? Was it Agni Dev? And they wanted to offer him the Kandava forest, and Indra didn't. Yes, that part comes later. And Indra didn't want it to happen. It was his forest, but there were herbs in there. But Arjuna and Krishna wanted to do it, so they had to defeat Indra. And within the forest, so they were offering this to Agni, and within the forest was this Danava named Maya Danava, very, very powerful asura who could perform practically any wonderful feat against nature. So Krishna wanted to kill this Maya Danava. But both the fire, now we're reading from the purport, and the Lord ceased from chasing the demon as soon as both of them saw that the demon was given shelter by such a devotee as Arjuna. This demon, feeling obliged to Arjuna, wanted to do him some service to show his gratefulness, but Arjuna declined to accept anything from him in exchange. Lord Sri Krishna, however, being pleased with Maya for his taking shelter of a devotee, asked him to render service unto King Yudhisthira by building a wonderful assembly house. The process is that by the grace of the devotee, the mercy of the Lord is obtained. And by the mercy of the Lord, a chance to serve the Lord's devotee is obtained. The club of Bhimasena was also a gift of Maya Danava. So Krishna would not kill him because, in fact, he was quite pleased with this Maya Danava, even though he previously wanted to kill him because he had taken shelter of Arjuna. So all this was by Krishna's grace. Arjuna continues speaking to Yudhisthira. Your respectable younger brother, who possesses the strength of 10,000 elephants, killed by his grace, Krishna's grace, Jarasandha, whose feet were worshipped by many kings. These kings had been brought for sacrifice in Jarasandha's Mahabharava Yajna, but they were thus released. Later they paid tribute to your majesty. So everyone took shelter of Yudhisthira. He was the supreme king, because they couldn't perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, which can only be performed by the emperor, whom all the other kings have surrendered to. So Jarasandha was not surrendered, so they had to kill Jarasandha first. So by Krishna's grace, Yudhisthira became the emperor. Everything, Krishna's grace. When we think back upon our lives and things that we have and things that we've done, what do we think is done by us and what do we think is done by Krishna? From the end of Prabhupada's purport, Lord Krishna, Bhima, and Arjuna asked Jarasandha for the facility of fighting him. They came to him dressed as Brahmins and they asked to beg something from him in charity. And Jarasandha understood they weren't Brahmins, they were Kshatriyas, but yet because they were dressed as Brahmins, because he was so respectful to the Brahmins, he said, whatever you ask me, I will grant your wish. And then they asked, we want to fight with you. Real Kshatriyas. So all of them were both guests. So Arjuna asked Jarasandha for the facility of fighting him. And it was settled that Jarasandha would fight with Bhima only. So all of them were both guests and combatants of Jarasandha. And Bhima and Jarasandha fought every day for several days. Bhima became disappointed because he wasn't able to kill Jarasandha. But Krishna gave him hints about Jarasandha's being joined together as an infant. And thus, Bhima dissected him again and so killed him. All the kings who were detained in the concentration camp to be killed before Mahabharav were thus released by Bhim. Feeling thus obliged to the Pandavas, they paid tribute to King Yudhisthira. So everything coming by Krishna's mercy. It was he only who loosened the hair of all the wives of the miscreants who dared open the cluster of your queen's hair, which had been nicely dressed and sanctified for the great Rajasuya sacrificial ceremony. At that time, she fell down at the feet of Lord Krishna with tears in her eyes. Towards the end of the purport. This is an interesting one. If we look at the what the verse is about again, it's about how, because Draupadi's hair, her bun, was loosened, and should never have been touched and loosened. Because of that, all the wives in the Kuru dynasty became widows, meaning their husbands were killed by Krishna. Krishna has done this, he said. So Krishna also seeks revenge to his devotees' enemies. So we're building up more of a picture of Krishna. Again, how he cares for his devotees. Just at the end of Prabhupada's purport. The Lord can tolerate insults upon himself by any miscreant because the Father tolerates even insults from the Son. But he never tolerates insults upon his devotees. By insulting a great soul, one has to forego all the results of pious acts and benedictions also. He continues, during our exile, Durvasa Muni, who eats with his 10,000 disciples, intrigued with our enemies. Who is that enemy? Duryodhana. To put us in dangerous trouble. At that time, he, Lord Krishna, simply by accepting the remnants of food, one small piece, he saved us. By his accepting food thus, the assembly of Munis, while bathing in the river, felt sumptuously fed and all the three worlds were also satisfied. So Krishna saved his devotees from terrible intrigues that were impossible to extricate themselves from, but Krishna saved them again and again. And the demigods, in text 12, he caused the demigods even to be pleased, because sometimes one may think Krishna may be pleased, but what about the demigods? And if the demigods aren't pleased, so much trouble will come to me. But when one pleases Krishna, the demigods also become pleased, as in this next verse demonstrates. It was by his influence only that in a fight I was able to astonish the personality of God, Lord Shiva, and his wife, the daughter of Mount Himalaya. Thus he, Lord Shiva, became pleased with me and awarded me his own weapons. Other demigods also delivered their respective weapons to me. And in addition, I was able to reach the heavenly planets in this present body and was allowed a half-elevated seat. When I stayed for some days as a guest in the heavenly planets, all the heavenly demigods, including King Indradev, took shelter of my arms, which were marked with the Gandiva bow, to kill the demon named Nivatta Kavacha. O king, descendant of Ajamita, at the present moment, I am bereft of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose influence I was so powerful. Prabhupada's short purport here. The heavenly demigods are certainly more intelligent, powerful, and beautiful. And yet, they had to take help from Arjuna because of his Gandiva bow, which was empowered by the grace of Lord Sri Krishna. The Lord is all-powerful, and by his grace, his pure devotee can be as powerful as he may desire, and there is no limit to it. And when the Lord withdraws his power from anyone, he is powerless by the will of the Lord. Now, four verses describing Arjuna's experiences at Kurukshetra. The military strength of the Kauravas was just like an ocean. Just like an ocean. Is it possible to cross over an ocean by one's own power? It was like an ocean in which there dwelled many invincible existences. So if there are many sharks and ferocious creatures in the ocean, despite even the breadth of the ocean, these creatures make it still more impossible to cross over it. And thus it was insurmountable. But because of his friendship, I, seated on the chariot, was able to cross over it. It was insurmountable. He did something that was impossible by the grace of Krishna. And only by his grace was I able to regain the cows and also collect by force many helmets of the kings, which were bedecked with jewels that were sources of all brilliance. Prabhupada's purport. On the Kaurava side, there were many stalwart commanders like Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, and Karna, and their military strength was as insurmountable as the great ocean. And yet it was due to Lord Krishna's grace that Arjuna alone, sitting on the chariot, could manage to vanquish them one after another without difficulty. There were many changes of commanders on the other side, but on the Pandava side, Arjuna alone on the chariot driven by Lord Krishna could manage the whole responsibility of the great war. Similarly, when the Pandavas were living at the place of Virata incognito, the Kauravas picked a quarrel with King Virata and decided to take away his large number of cows. While they were taking away the cows, Arjuna fought with them incognito and was able to regain the cows along with some booty taken by force, the jewels set on the turbans of the royal order. Arjuna remembered all this was possible by the grace of the Lord. Yo Bhishma Karna Guru Shalya Chamusva Bhadra. It was he only who withdrew the duration of life from everyone, and who in the battlefield withdrew the speculative power and strength of enthusiasm from the great military phalanx made by the Kauravas, headed by Bhishma, Karna, Drona, Salya, etc. Their arrangement was expert and more than adequate, but he, Lord Sri Krishna, while going forward, did all this. So again, he did the impossible by winning that battle. The Pandavas were outnumbered, and there were far many more powerful commanders on the opposing side, yet the Pandavas still won by Krishna's grace. Purport. So he did the impossible. So what a friend this Krishna is. And Arjuna understood that everything he had, every wonderful thing was given to him previously by Krishna, who he loved so much and who loved him and who they shared so many intimate moments. And now that Krishna had departed from this world. So who can even imagine the dejection of Arjuna? Prabhupada's purport. The absolute personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, expands himself by his plenary Paramatma portion in everyone's heart. And thus he directs everyone in the matter of recollection, forgetfulness, knowledge, the absence of intelligence, and all psychological activities. Bhagavad Gita 15:50. What's that verse? Savasya chaham. Matyasya smitam gyanamapovanam cha vedescha savaraham eva vidyo vedantikrit vidavid eva chaham. As the Supreme Lord, he can increase or decrease the duration of life of a living being. Thus the Lord conducted the battle of Kurukshetra according to his own plan. He wanted that battle to establish Yudhisthira as the emperor of this planet. And to facilitate this transcendental business, he killed all who were on the opposite party by his omnipotent will. The other party was equipped with all military strength, supported by big generals like Bhishma, Drona, and Salya, and it would have been physically impossible for Arjuna to win the battle had the Lord not helped him by every kind of tactic. Such tactics are generally followed by every statesman, even in modern warfare. But they are done materially by powerful espionages, military tactics, and diplomatic maneuvers. But because Arjuna was the Lord's affectionate devotee, the Lord did all this himself without personal anxiety by Arjuna. That is the way of the devotional service to the Lord. What is the way of the devotional service to the Lord? Huh? Without personal anxiety, but what's the way, including very strong statement right at the end, this is the way, or that is the way. Now, what is the way? We just read a whole purport. What is the way that he's talking about? Yes, but...
becoming instrumental in
the
Lord's will.
Yeah. And he'll do it. He ends up doing everything. He gives you all that's required to allow you to do the devotional service. But he ultimately is the one doing it. But the devotee gets all the credit. And that pleases Krishna very much. But here the devotee is saying, he did all this. So this is the nature of the relationship. The Lord says, my devotee, just see what my devotee has done. But what can a tiny soul do? Whatever he can do, good or bad, mediocre, poorly, breathe, stand, walk, or conquer great armies, is all done only by the grace of Krishna. And when one serves Krishna and does something wonderful, that is Krishna doing it. And that Krishna's doing it is the way of devotional service. Similarly, Krishna will bring us back to Godhead. We can't actually do it. We have to do our part. But we have to allow him, by his grace, to make all the arrangements as well. We have to do our part. But we cannot, by ourselves, storm Goloka Vrindavan. Not possible. But Krishna did this without personal anxiety by Arjuna. So why was Arjuna not in anxiety? Because he had full confidence in Krishna. Bhoktaram jagatapasyam sarvalokamaheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantim ruchiti. And the next to last of these Kurukshetra verses, where Arjuna is remembering all Krishna did. Great generals like Bhishma, Drona, Karma, Bodhisrava, Shushama, Salya, Jayadrata. That of course is a wonderful story with Jayadrata. When Krishna made the sun stay later. And Balika all directed their invincible weapons against me. But by his, Lord Krishna's grace, they could not even touch a hair on my head. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, the supreme devotee of Lord Nrisingadev, was unaffected by the weapons the demons used against him. Because it wasn't the only time Krishna protected his devotee. 17. Not with Arjuna alone, Prahlad too. Prahlad was fully dependent on Krishna. After all, he was a boy. What could he do? His father was so powerful, so he just depended on Krishna. And amazingly enough, Prahlad was not in the slightest bit of anxiety. If one would analytically look at Prahlad's situation, one would see his situation, his position where his protector, his natural protector, his father, was trying to kill him. A father is the one who protects the son. When the protector is trying to kill you, the one who ever you naturally rely on for protection is trying to kill you, what hope is there? So his position, Prahlad's position, was actually extremely precarious and dangerous, like Arjuna's was. On the battle of Kurukshetra, the opposition was actually much too powerful. But when Krishna wants to protect someone, then he's protected. And Prahlad knew this and was in no anxiety. And Arjuna too. 17. It was by his mercy only that my enemies neglected to kill me. When I descended from my chariot to get water for my thirsty horses, and it was due to my lack of esteem for my Lord that I dared engage him as my chariot driver, for he is worshipped and offered services by the best men to attain salvation. So Arjuna was protected during the most dangerous, difficult times. And Krishna even allowed Arjuna to act so intimately with him as chariot driver, engaged the Lord. This is all Krishna's mercy. So Arjuna's remembering this. We'll just read a small part of Prabhupada's purport. The Lord, however, descends to attract all by his specific transcendental pastimes. And thus, he plays the part of the most perfect master, friend, son, and lover. His transcendental relation with Arjuna was in friendship. And the Lord, therefore, played the part perfectly, as he did with his parents, lovers, and wives. While playing in such a perfect transcendental relation, the devotee forgets by the internal potency of the Lord that his friend or son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although sometimes the devotee is bewildered by the acts of the Lord. After the departure of the Lord, Arjuna was conscious of his great friend, but there was no mistake on the part of Arjuna, nor any ill estimation of the Lord. Intelligent men are attracted by the transcendental acting of the Lord with a pure, unalloyed devotee like Arjuna. So this description is given here. Because, again, as we heard in chapter 7 through chapter 11, how wonderful it is to have an intimate relationship with Krishna. But when the previous chapter had started, chapter 13, then we heard what happens when Krishna leaves. If Krishna's present, then one can throw oneself at his feet, somehow or another take shelter of him, gain a relationship with him. But when Krishna's not present, as Kali Yuga began, Krishna's not present, how can we gain this relationship? We become attracted to him because we're hearing about the relationship, but how can we gain it? And Arjuna, on the other hand, he wishes very much to be again in Krishna's association. So one exalted devotee is wishing to be in Krishna's association, and perhaps we aspiring devotees are also wishing to be in Krishna's association. So what does one have to do? We also heard in chapter 13 how we should... What is the best thing one should do? One should depend fully on Krishna. One should be sober. One should be dhira. One should not take shelter of that which is unable to award shelter. One should not become entangled in matter. So therefore, Dhritarashtra, who is entangled in matter, depending fully on matter, material consciousness, he had to leave home. But he wasn't able to rise above the platform of Dhira to the platform that is the topmost platform. It is called Narottama, which means full dependence on the Lord. So that is the goal that has been set up, to have a relationship with Krishna, to awaken our relationship with Krishna, intimate relationship with Krishna, and to fully depend on him. Because unless our relationship is intimate, intimate means heart to heart, it can be actually trusted. If you have a casual friend or a business friend, you might have, say, when people are doing business, they develop a friendly relationship with the people that they're doing business. But it's business. Can you trust your life with such a person? Depend on them fully with a business friend or a casual friend, someone you just run into now and then and say, Hari Bol. But someone who you've opened your heart to completely, completely intimate, shared wonderful experiences together, that kind of a person, you know the quality of that person's character, their integrity, etc. That kind of a person you can depend fully upon. So how to get that kind of relationship with Krishna, something superficial, is not sufficient. So although Arjuna has the relationship with Krishna, and of course every living entity has it, but now, at least I can speak for myself, so covered, so much in darkness, how can we awaken it? So our situation is in that sense similar to Arjuna's, that we both want to be with Krishna. We all want to be with Krishna. 18. Intelligent men are attracted by the transcendental acting of the Lord with a pure unalloyed devotee like Arjuna. O King, Arjuna continues, his joking and frank talks were pleasing and beautifully decorated with smiles. His addresses unto me is, O son of Prita, O friend, O son of the Kuru dynasty, and all such heartiness are now remembered by me, and thus I am overwhelmed. Generally, both of us used to live together and sleep, sit, and loiter together, and at the time of advertising oneself for acts of chivalry, sometimes if there were any irregularities, if Arjuna thought that Krishna was exaggerating his own importance, I used to reproach him by saying, my friend, you are very truthful. Even in those hours when his value was minimized, he, being the Supreme Soul, used to tolerate all those utterings of mine, excusing me exactly as a true friend excuses his true friend, or a father excuses his son. O Emperor, now I am separated from my friend and dearmost well-wisher, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore my heart appears to be void of everything. Does that sound familiar? Huh? Okay, what else does it sound familiar to? Yeah, these are very deep things. I was thinking it sounds more like how I feel every morning when I wake up. My heart appears void of everything. I remember, yeah. No feeling of Krishna, not the slightest devotion or anything. I'm completely separated from our dearmost friend, Saridam Savabhutanam, and dearmost well-wisher. In his absence, Arjuna is saying, I have been defeated by a number of infidel cowherd men while I was guarding the bodies of all the wives of Krishna. This is Arjuna's situation. Soon the remedy will be given. Here is Arjuna's telling, because we read yesterday how Arjuna had been given the mission specifically by Krishna. He called for Daruka right before he departed from this world to give the message to Arjuna to leave Dwarka immediately with the queens and bring them to Indraprastha. And then what did Krishna arrange? Them all to be taken away and Arjuna to be humiliated in this way. Prabhupada's purport. The important point in this verse is how it was possible that Arjuna could be defeated by a gang of ignoble coward men. Because coward men, you can see this around Vrindavan sometimes. Coward men will sometimes carry bows. Sometimes they carry bows and they have arrows and they shoot, try to keep the birds away from the trees with the fruits when the amrut or guava is growing. I've seen them doing that. But this isn't like Arjuna the warrior, cowherd men protecting the herds of cows or something with their bows. But Arjuna, this incredible fighter who had impressed Indra, defeated Indra, forced Indra and the other demigods to take shelter of his powerful arms. Now these cowherd men with their bows and arrows defeated him. And not only that, how such mundane coward men could touch the bodies of the wives of Krishna, who were under the protection of Arjuna, specifically ordered to protect them by Krishna himself. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has justified the contradiction. What's the contradiction? This is impossible. How could it possibly happen? Krishna's order, Krishna's desire, Arjuna's weapons, Arjuna's potency, and on the other side, cowherd men taking them away, touching Krishna's wives. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has justified the contradiction by research in the Vishnu Purana and Brahma Purana. In these Puranas, it is said that once the fair denizens of heaven pleased Astavakra Muni by their service and were blessed by the Muni to have the Supreme Lord as their husband. Astavakra Muni was curved in 8 joints. Astavakra means just that. And thus, he used to move in a peculiar curved manner. The daughters of the demigods could not check their laughter upon seeing the movements of the Muni. And the Muni, being angry at them, so he gave them the benediction, they could have the Supreme Lord as their husband, and then they laughed at him. And he became angry at them and cursed them that they would be kidnapped by rogues, even if they would get the Lord as the husband. Later on, the girls again satisfied the Muni by their prayers, and the Muni blessed them that they would regain their husband even after being robbed by the rogues. So in order to keep the words of the great Muni, the Lord himself kidnapped his wife his wives from the protection of Arjuna. Otherwise, they would have at once vanished from the scene as soon as they were touched by the rogues. Beside that, some of the gopis who prayed to become the wives of the Lord returned to their respective positions after their desire was fulfilled. After the departure of Lord Krishna, he wanted all his entourage back to Godhead, and they were called back under different conditions only. So this was Krishna's Leela, but Arjuna wasn't aware of that at this time. Now he will lament further. I have the very same Gandiva bow, the same arrows, the same chariot drawn by the same horses. And I use them as the same Arjuna to whom all the kings offered their due respects. But in the absence of Lord Krishna, all of them, at a moment's notice, have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter on ashes, accumulating money with a magic wand, or sowing seeds on barren land. Nothing bears any fruit anymore. Purport. As we have discussed more than once, one should not be puffed up by borrowed plumes. What does Prabhupada mean by that? By borrowed plumes. What is a plume? Every French man or lady knows that, certainly. Or pen. Feather, borrowed feathers. Say if we take some feathers and we are wearing them. It's a funny expression if you think about it. So if we have something, any ability, again, it is just a borrowed feather from Krishna. It may be a wonderful, beautiful peacock feather, multicolored, but yet it is just on loan to us from Krishna. So when something is on loan to you, even if it is wonderful, it is not yours, and therefore no pride is warranted. I had that this experience one time. Once when I arrived in Hong Kong, Giridhari Swami, who was an old friend, he picked me up in one of those stretch limos. He said it wasn't any more expensive than a taxi, really. That's what he said. So he picked up Dagtirini Mataji and myself in one of these stretch limos. And the ride from the airport to the temple was probably 15 or 20 minutes. But in that time, I became so attached, and I started feeling immediately, it was actually incredible. I started feeling so proud that here I am. I hope at least there's people watching when they open the door and I get out. It was incredible. And there I was, only sitting there for 20 minutes. Such attachment and pride comes from these borrowed plumes. And obviously, it was foolish. So foolish, because I had to carry all my bags up the stairs because there was no elevator anyway. Something like that. But while during that time, oh. So one should not become proud of his borrowed plumes. All energy and powers are derived from the Supreme Source, Lord Krishna. And they act as long as he desires and cease to function as soon as he withdraws. All electrical energies are received from the powerhouse, and as soon as the powerhouse stops supplying energy, the bulbs are of no use. In a moment's time, such energies can be generated or withdrawn by the supreme will of the Lord. Material civilization without the blessing of the Lord is child's play only. As long as the parents allow the child to play, it's all right. As soon as the parents withdraw, the child has to stop. Human civilization and all activities thereof must be dovetailed with the supreme blessing of the Lord. And without this blessing, all advancement of human civilization is like decoration on a dead body. It is said here that a dead civilization and its activities are something like clarified butter on ashes, the accumulation of money by a magic wand, and the sowing of seeds in a barren land of no value. Now, Arjuna, will answer Yudhisthira's question about the fate of the Yadus. Because one after another in the previous chapter, he said, how is this Yadu, how is that Yadu, how is this one, how is that one? O king, since you have asked me about our friends and relatives in the city of Dwarka, I will inform you that all of them were cursed by the Brahmins, and as a result, they all became intoxicated with wine made of putrefied rice and fought amongst themselves with sticks, not even recognizing one another. Now, all but four or five of them are dead and gone. Factually, this is all due to the supreme will of the Lord, the personality of Godhead. Sometimes people kill one another, and in other times they protect one another. O king, as in the ocean, the bigger and stronger aquatic follows up the smaller and weaker one, so also the supreme personality of Godhead, to lighten the burden of the earth, has engaged the stronger Yadu to kill the weaker, and the bigger Yadu to kill the smaller. Now, what is Arjuna going to do? He has lost everything. His shelter, his friends, the Yadu dynasty, his powers, his best friend, his mission. What will he do? Now, I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead Govinda, because they're impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. So he takes shelter of Krishna's instructions, and in taking shelter of those instructions, he finds Krishna. Prabhupada's purport. Herein, Arjuna refers to the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. So we heard yesterday that the Acharyas had mentioned several of the verses that he was referring to, that he took shelter of, such as Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavrita Mudayam Nabijananti Lokomam Majamavyayam. That was Srila Swami says this, and I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent, for then I am covered by my eternal creative potency, Yogamaya, and so the deluded world knows me not, who am unborn and infallible, so Krishna can never be gone. And Jiva Goswami says that Arjuna remembered the verse, Mamme vasyati satyam te pratijane priyosime, Bhagavad Gita 18:65. You will come to me without fail, I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. He became convinced by Krishna's promise that he would gain the association of his dear friend. The Lord left behind him the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, not for the benefit of Arjuna alone, but also for all time and on all lands. The Bhagavad Gita, being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. It is nicely presented by the Lord himself for all who have very little time to go through the vast Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Vedanta Sutras. It is put within the study of the great historical epic Mahabharata, which is specially prepared for the less intelligent class, namely the women, the laborers, and those who are worthless descendants of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and higher sections of the Vaishyas. The problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. Again, after the departure of the Lord from the vision of earthly people, when Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, he wanted again to remember the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. The merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita so that one can take the instructions of the Lord even when he is not visible to material eyesight. Material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is also another form of the Lord's manifested energy. Thus the Bhagavad Gita, or any authentic scriptural sound representation of the Lord, is also the incarnation of the Lord. There is no difference between the sound representation of the Lord and the Lord himself. One can derive the same benefit from the Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna did in the personal presence of the Lord. And then the remainder of the purport, Prabhupada actually summarizes the Bhagavad Gita. Sutta Goswami continued, thus being deeply absorbed and thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in the great intimacy of friendship, and in thinking of his lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and freed from all material contamination. Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion, and as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. Purification of heart, increase of devotion, how? Remembrance of Krishna constantly, and taking shelter of Krishna's instructions, such as the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on, Sridhar Swami comments that these two verses, 28 and 29, indicate that the disturbed mind of Arjuna was settled by his devotion to Krishna. And Jiva Goswami comments in Priti Sandarbha on 28, text 28, the word shanta, shantasid bimalamati, shanta means that Arjuna became peaceful at heart. He was free from all sufferings. It was as if Lord Krishna was again present before his eyes. And bimala means his mind became free from all material contamination. Prabhupada's purports to these two verses. Since the Lord is absolute, deep meditation upon him is as good as yogic trance. The Lord is not different from his name, form, quality, pastimes, entourage, and specific actions. Arjuna began to think of the Lord's instructions to him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Only those instructions began to eliminate the tinges of material contamination in the mind of Arjuna. The Lord is like the sun. The sun's appearance means immediate dissipation of darkness or ignorance. And the Lord's appearance within the mind of the devotee can at once drive away the miserable material effects. Lord Chaitanya has therefore recommended constant chanting of the name of the Lord for protection from all contamination of the material world. The feeling of separation from the Lord is undoubtedly painful to the devotee, but because it is in connection with the Lord, it has a specific transcendental effect which pacifies the heart. Feelings of separation are also sources of transcendental bliss, and they are never comparable to contaminated material feelings of separation. Prabhupada's purport to 29. Material desires in the mind are the trash of material contamination. A harsh word, trash. By such contamination, the living being is faced with so many compatible and incompatible things that discourage the very existence of spiritual identity. Birth after birth, the conditioned soul is entrapped with so many pleasing and displeasing elements, which are all false and temporary. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena marata. This causes the dualities of life, things we want, things we don't want, causes the illusion, the bewilderment of the living entity. They accumulate due to our reactions to material desires. But when we get in touch with the transcendental Lord and his variegated energies by devotional service, the naked forms of all material desires become manifest, and the intelligence of the living being is pacified in its true color. As soon as Arjuna turned his attention towards the instructions of the Lord, as they are inculcated in the Bhagavad Gita, his true color of eternal association with the Lord became manifest, and thus he felt freed from all material contamination. Because of the Lord's pastimes and activities, text 30, and because of his absence, it appeared that Arjuna forgot the instructions left by the personality of Godhead. But factually, this was not the case. And again, he became lord of his senses. Because of his possessing spiritual assets, the doubts of duality were completely cut off. What duality? Yes, that he is separated from Krishna. But in fact, it is impossible that anyone can actually be in fact separated from Krishna. Mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanata. Eternally, angsa, mama eva angsa. We are eternally, certainly Krishna's part and parcel. We can't be separated from him any more than the sun rays can be separated from the sun. Because of possessing, so by placing himself in the association of Krishna through remembering Krishna's instructions, remembering Krishna's pastimes, the illusion of duality was removed and he was again placed in Krishna's association. Thus he was freed from the three modes of material nature and placed in transcendence. There was no longer any chance of his becoming entangled in birth and death, for he was freed from material form. I'd like to read some of the purport to 30 and some of the purport to 31, and then a little references from the acharyas, and then call for questions and comments. From the purport to text 30. It so appeared that Arjuna and the Lord were engaged in the battle of Kurukshetra as the other party was also engaged. But factually, the Lord was executing his mission of incarnation and association with his eternal friend Arjuna. Therefore, such apparently material activities of Arjuna did not drive him away from his transcendental position, but on the contrary, revived his consciousness of the songs of the Lord as he sang them personally. This revival of consciousness is assured by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita 18:65 as follows. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam mevasyasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. So that was the verse quoted by Jiva Goswami that Arjuna remembered. One should think of the Lord always. The mind should not forget him. One should become a devotee of the Lord and offer obeisances unto him. One who lives in that fashion becomes undoubtedly endowed with the blessings of the Lord by achieving the shelter of his lotus feet. There is nothing to doubt about this eternal truth. Because Arjuna was his confidential friend, this secret was disclosed to him. Arjuna had no desire to fight with his relatives, but he fought for the mission of the Lord. He was always engaged in the execution of his mission only, and therefore, after the Lord's departure, he remained in the same transcendental position, even though it appeared that he forgot all the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. One should therefore adjust the activities of life in pace with the mission of the Lord. Important. One should adjust the activities of life in pace with the mission of the Lord. And by doing this, one is sure to return home back to Godhead This is the highest perfection of life. And a third of the way down in the purport to text 31, and this is the last we'll read from this chapter. As soon as Arjuna took up the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, expert as he was, he could at once eradicate the material conception of Lord Krishna, his eternal friend. So that points to our own inexpertise, because Arjuna's forgetfulness was, of course, Krishna's lila and completely shallow. So as soon as he remembered Krishna, he immediately experienced Krishna. Immediately. And this was the basic instruction also that Krishna gave to the gopis at Uddhava and at Kurukshetra as well, that I'm there. Remember me, remember my pastimes, and you will associate with me. But it must be done with devotion, otherwise one doesn't get the effect immediately. He could realize that the Lord was still present before him by his instruction, by his form, by his pastimes, by his qualities, and everything else related to him. He could realize that Lord Krishna, his friend, was still present before him by his transcendental presence in different non-dual energies, and there was no question of attainment of the association of the Lord by another change of body under the influence of time and space. By attainment of absolute knowledge, one could be in association with the Lord constantly, even in this present life, simply by hearing, chanting, thinking of, and worshipping the Supreme Lord. One can see him. One can feel his presence even in this present life simply by understanding the Advaita Jnana Lord or the Absolute Lord through the process of devotional service, which begins with hearing about him. Lord Chaitanya says that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can at once wash off the dust on the mirror of pure consciousness. And as soon as the dust is removed, one is at once freed from all material conditions. To become free from material conditions means to liberate the soul. As soon as one is therefore situated in absolute knowledge, his material conception of life is removed, or he emerges from a false conception of life, like waking up from a dream. Thus the function of the pure soul is revived in spiritual realization. This practical realization of the living being is made possible due to his becoming free from the reactions of the three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, ignorance. By the grace of the Lord, a pure devotee is at once raised to the place of the Absolute, and there is no chance of the devotees becoming materially entangled again in conditioned life. One is not able to feel the presence of the Lord in all circumstances until one is endowed with the required transcendental vision made possible by devotional service prescribed in the revealed scriptures. Arjuna had attained this stage long before on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and when he apparently felt the absence of the Lord, he at once took shelter of the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, and thus again he was placed in his original position. This is the position of Vishoka, or the stage of being freed from all grief and anxieties. That Vishoka Brahma Sampatya Sanchina Dvaita Samsaya. From the verse. Now, this is something that I've written, which takes into account what the Acharyas are saying. We now read how Krishna has left Arjuna's presence and Arjuna is bereft. Perhaps our blossoming desire to advance is wilted, thinking that we too, after depending upon Krishna and becoming his devotee, will be abandoned and bereft. What should we do? We should do as Arjuna does. Arjuna remembers Krishna's words, the Bhagavad Gita, and again directly experiences his Lord. Krishna's presence within his instructions and Arjuna's remembrance of them, enriched by feelings of separation, has carried Arjuna again directly into Krishna's association. Srila Prabhupada, in the Krishna book, chapter 35, explains the importance and potency of remembering Krishna in separation. Prabhupada says, to acquire this strong feeling of separation is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya and his direct disciplic succession of Goswamis. When we are not in physical contact with Krishna, we can associate with him like the gopis through feelings of separation. Krishna's transcendental form, qualities, pastimes, and entourage are all identical with him. There are 9 different kinds of devotional service. Devotional service to Krishna in feelings of separation elevates the devotee to the highest perfectional life, to the level of the gopis. Those who are in the disciplic succession of the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya should always feel separation from Krishna, worship his transcendental form, and discuss his transcendental teachings, his pastimes, his qualities, and his entourage. That will enrich the devotees to the highest devotional perfection. Feeling constant separation from while engaged in the service of the Lord is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Krishna book, chapter 35. Oh, I thought there were other things to read, but not so much. Prabhupada perhaps is explaining it like that, but in the Bhagavad Gita he also explains the other part. So he attained the stage there, as he attained the stage now. But ultimately, he was an eternal associate of Krishna. We can imagine how difficult it was for Prabhupada to write these books. He was writing them in the English language for people, English-speaking people, not of India, although also of India perhaps, but mostly for Westerners. How much they knew about Krishna, how much they didn't know about Krishna, of the culture. He hadn't yet experienced that yet fully. I may have mentioned this before, that so how much to say that I explain Krishna, if he says that Arjuna was an eternal associate of Krishna, then for a Westerner, they don't even have any idea of what that means, even. What does it mean to be an eternal associate of Krishna? So it was very difficult. I once heard, there's one tape of Prabhupada speaking, I think it was one during the really early Bowery days. I may have mentioned this. So he was explaining that Krishna never grows old. And he said to the people listening, you have never seen a picture of an old Krishna, right? Krishna never grows old. Has anyone ever seen a picture of Krishna as an old man? And then the next thing you hear him saying is, has anyone ever seen a picture of Krishna? No one had ever in the whole. And then he started explaining what this is, he's pointing to this. No one, and explain how a woman parts their hard hair, describes, you know, tells so many things. Practically speaking, it was an impossible thing. Really, it is the proof of Krishna Shakti Nahivina Tarbhavartana. No one had any idea. No one had any idea of anything, practically speaking. Now we look and we scrutinize and we say, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says this and this, but here Prabhupada said this and this and this. And we're scrutinizing and said, well, in the Mahabharata when I read it, the Rajasuya sacrifice took place before the... So Prabhupada had to make a choices when he was doing these things. Especially when he was writing these books, he was one person working alone. He was typing it himself. And no, what to speak of computer. He was purchasing the paper himself. He was going to the printer every day. He had no money. So he had to make a choice whether I'm going to try and get something done or make a perfect half a volume of one of the cantos of the Bhagavatam. And his choice was clearly he wanted to get something done vast so that we would have content to an instruction, content to remember Krishna, instruction on what to do. So now there are certain things that, in that regard, that it causes some degree of problem. What did Prabhupada mean by this, and what did Prabhupada mean by this, and is this true like that? But if one understands the circumstances, one can understand why Prabhupada made that choice and why Krishna inspired Prabhupada to make that choice. And like that. And know that just by hearing these purports, they're so powerful that if the Rajasuya took place before the battle of Kurukshetra or after the battle of Kurukshetra, and if you don't have that fact right, but you pay attention to everything else, you won't be the loser. You'll be easily be able to go back to Godhead by following these powerful purports. Now, Arjuna now is in separation. When you're with someone, that is melan, or meeting. So Arjuna was no longer meeting Krishna, so his remembering Krishna was in separation. And that remembering Krishna took the form, it took the form of remembering his instructions, which very much remembered a pastime, Krishna speaking to him during that time. And other ways to remember Krishna in separation. Separation means thinking about him, you know, wishing, longing to be with him. Not, oh, Krishna is everywhere and everything, so I'm not separate, I'm never separated from him, so everything is fine. No, wishing to be with him. And then Krishna, who is everywhere, manifests himself, if that kind of bhakti is there. Other questions or comments? Yes. Bowl of plums. Borrowed plumes. If you think that he's given it to you to do something for him and that you're only a servant, then where's the question of pride entering? But when you start thinking yourself the master, the enjoyer of something, then pride must enter. To serve. And he's given something else to your God brothers to use in their service. And another thing is just start when you first wake up in the morning, and think of every stupid thing you do from then on, and then you won't get proud. And if you ever feel yourself getting proud and you can't think of anything stupid, just ask Parama Karuna. He'll tell you all the dumb things you do. That's one thing so nice about the Association of Devotees. There's always so many people who are ready to help you in that way. So many people will be willing. You can make an announcement after Mangal Arati, that Sankirtan is, Prabhu is getting proud. If anyone, any volunteers, you can tell him to help him become humble. But it's true that the mind, the material mind, can turn anything into maya, even spiritual things. How nice I'm chanting, how nice I'm doing this. But how much are we really doing? You know, we're 10,000th the head of a hair. We're so tiny and insignificant. Without Krishna, we can't do anything. So if Krishna gives you something on loan and you become proud of it, you should know he'll take it away. So you should fear that. You should fear that. Fear pride. Anyone else want to offer Sankirtan some advice here? And it's not yours anyway. Yes. Yes. Or even just notice how as soon as Krishna gives you some ability, you start getting proud that Krishna gives it to you. So how stupid. Yeah, so amazing. And after learning 100 times and getting slapped 100 times, still I do the same thing. Thinking that Krishna has empowered me and not someone else is proof that actually he's not empowered you. Because if you were empowered, you'd see the good qualities of others. Krishna had a mission for him. And he didn't. He escaped the battle of Kurukshetra too.
He didn't go.
I think he did, but he survived.
Satyaki, I think he was. Who was left? Who was this 4 and 5? That's the question.
Well, Vrajanav is one of them.
Yeah.
And he, because Krishna had a mission to. We spoke about this yesterday, that he wanted him. He came to Mathura, was installed as the king of Mathura, the Yadu dynasty, and then he consecrated. He went all over Braja and found out where Krishna had performed his pastimes, and he installed deities and he renamed the villages accordingly. At least that's one of the persons, so that was Krishna's desire, Krishna's kindness to us, to help us in remembrance.
What is all the Siddhi has about Maharaj Vajranava stated?
I think it's in also in Bhakti Ratnakara.
About how he escaped from the battle of Kurukshetra and how...
I just recently read it. I was been reading that, so...
What chapter in Bhakti Ratnakara?
The one that Bhumipati and Pundarik did. Can't remember the number, but the one about the Brajmandal Parikrama. I seem to remember it comes from there. Because I just read it and the information is still with me.
Anything else about the others?
Not that I know of. Anyone else?
This didn't drive you to catch up. It didn't drive you to curiosity on that. It has no tikka, actually. I was thinking, what would the tikkacharya say about that?
Yes.
They named the 4 and 5. But there's no, Prabhupada didn't give any tikka, so I assume that there is no tikka.
Well, you can look. You should learn Sanskrit. You have, Krishna's blessed you with the brain, the ability to do it. Do it. All those who think Maharaj should learn Sanskrit and answer all these questions for us, raise your hand. Well, at least it's a majority, probably, at least.
I should turn the clock back about 30 years.
No. You can do it now. Any other questions or comments? Yes. One thing that I've thought of in this regard is that when one sees someone else who's advanced, more advanced than us, we should understand that they've paid the price at some other time. So if you want to be advanced like them or more advanced, just pay the price and then you can be advanced too. There's no barring anyone. Kripa, because it's causeless mercy, it's always Kripa. Siddhi is always really Kripa. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Arjun and his great instructions to us ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.